And welcome back to Edward Jones Presents Life Lessons. And our very special guest today is Philip Brashear. And this is our part of our series in celebrating Black Awareness Month. And during this month, we are celebrating the accomplishments of many great Americans. And today with us is the one and only Chief Warrant Officer Philip Brashear, a master Army aviator whose father is a military legend that all of you know, and it was the subject of the Hollywood movie Men of Honor. Philip, it is great to have you on our Life Lesson show today. Welcome, sir.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, sir. It's a pleasure, and I'm glad to be here.
You bet. And up front, we want to extend our thanks to you for your service to our nation, and also extend our thanks to your dad. And as we were talking about in the pre-show, he's passed away years ago, but we will never forget his service as well.
Yes, sir. I tell you, he made quite a note of himself in this American society of ours, and he truly is a legend. But sir, every chance I get, I never want my father to turn into a myth, so I keep his legacy going by speaking about him, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that with you.
You bet. And, we love the chance to talk about great fathers and their sons and how you turned out and all that. And let's start with this. Tell our listening audience about yourself, where you were born, and then we'll get into some specific questions about your dad.
Sure. Sir, I was born July 3rd, 1962 in Honolulu, Hawaii at Tripler Army General Hospital. So already I knew I was going to end up in the Army because I was born in the Army General Hospital in Hawaii. So that was a great start for me. July 3rd, 1962, my dad was stationed at Pearl Harbor, and I'm the third son of Carl and Janetta Brashear. So I had a pretty good start being born in such a beautiful place. Exactly 11 months after our former president, Barack Obama, was born in Honolulu, August 4th, 1961.
Truly amazing. And what was it like being raised by your mom and dad, who have this great history of service?
Well, I'd like to offer to you that both my parents were born and raised in rural Kentucky. They grew up on farms, and they had a great work ethic, and they tried to instill that in their children, in us. You know, growing up on a farm, you have to work hard. It's honest work, and my parents both instilled in us to work hard, give it your all, and to never give up. And I'm sure that was instilled in them as they were raised on farms in rural Kentucky, where both of them lived.
Sure. And when you think about the significance of Black History Month, especially as it relates to the U.S. military and about your mom and dad's past, what does it mean to you today, and what would you like to express to our listening audience to that end?
Well, being in the Army Reserve, sir, we as the Army Reserve see the contributions of African Americans not as a celebration of just Black America, but as an integral part of all American history. In every war that America has fought in from the beginning, to include the Revolutionary War, African Americans have served with great pride. We've gone from the Revolutionary War to Civil War to World War I and II, and we've had numbers, thousands of African Americans who served this country proudly and will continue to do so.
Excellent. And you have in your DNA a drive and a bravery and courage, and there are some of the others that have the same remarkable marks of a hero. What would you say are one of your favorite African-American hero stories outside of your extremely brave dad?
Sir, I would like to mention Lieutenant Colonel Howard Ball, who was one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, who proved to the United States military and to the world that African-American folks had the bravery and the mental capacity to fly combat aircraft. Had he not done that with his group, the Tuskegee Airmen, I wouldn't be a helicopter in today's military. That's a very distinguished group from World War II in the late 40s that just proved to the world that African Americans can do anything, to include flying combat aircraft.
Yeah, truly remarkable. Are there others that you want to mention today on the air?
Oh, sure, sir. Corporal Waverly Woodson, he was a World War II medic in the Army who, despite being wounded himself for 30 hours, treated over 200 injured soldiers on D-Day. He set up a medical station and dragged soldiers from the killing zone to receive treatment despite being wounded himself. And there's a website, sir. I could go into many others, but I could give you a website that can depict many others that people can look up for themselves and see the great stories of people in the past.
Yeah, go ahead and share that, if you will, please.
Sure. The website is www.usar.army.mil.
Excellent. We've got a couple of other questions to ask you, and I know you've got to run to another interview, but on every show that we do, Philip, we try to get this question in, and it's one of reflection. We'd love to know what advice you would give to your 20-year-old self, looking back in the rearview mirror. How would you have changed your own journey?
Sir, it's funny you mention that, because I have a 19-year-old version of myself who's attending ROTC at North Carolina A&T University in the person of my son. And I tell him,
"Oh my
son, there are many people out there who have struggled to give you the benefits in the life that you live today." And I tell my son constantly, "Son, never take for granted the liberties and freedoms that you have in this country. Many people have bled and died so that you can live your lifestyle in this great country that we have." And I tell them constantly, those people in the past, don't make their efforts go in vain. Live your life to the fullest. Be with all you can be and never give up on anything.
Wow, that's powerful. And the last question for you, Philip, is one that I want you to address to America, and especially to the next generations, of why we should return to be a loving and kinder and more patriotic nation.
Well, sir, given our background, we have to always think about America being first. You know, we always try to find ways to divide. But I tell you what, if we spend more time trying to bring together people of different races, cultures, and faiths, we all share a common value. We all believe in duty, honor, selfless service, loyalty, and respect. With that being said, sir, together our country can achieve anything. Diversity is not about what makes us different. It's about how we can make a difference. If we believe that and we exercise that, sir, this country will remain the greatest country in the world, and we can maintain that status forever as long as people in our country believe in that and exercise those thoughts.
Boy, I would vote for you for president if you were running. I love what you just said.
Well, I appreciate this. I appreciate this, sir. That makes me feel good.
Philip, tell our listeners one more time where they can find out more information about these great heroes.
Yes, sir. www.usar.army.mil. That website will give you all kinds of information on our heroes from the past, our present heroes, and where we can find our new heroes in the future. www.usar.army.mil. Loads of information, sir.
Excellent. Thank you, Philip, for being on our show today. We wish you well. Hey, you're welcome back anytime. We love your voice, and you are truly a man of wisdom. And I would also say, I bet you your dad would be very proud of the work you're doing as a great citizen of our nation.
Oh, I appreciate that, sir. And I know he's looking down at us, thinking the same thing. I just want to carry his name. And I never want my father to turn into a myth. I don't mind him being a legend, but I never want him to be a myth. I never want anybody to say that man couldn't have existed. So as long as I have breath in my body, I'll sing his praises, sir. And I appreciate the opportunity.